I don't have any over here. You got some, sister?
We want to pray for 13-year-old Gage Calder. He fell from a pickup, and he's in the pediatric ICU at OU. Mm. And he had a rough day yesterday with extremely high blood pressure.
Okay.
And they were thinking possible stroke or heart attack.
Wow.
We have an update on Ashlyn Franklin. She is having a laser procedure today to try to thin the skin graft skin and improve the range of motion on her knees.
Okay.
I have a friend, Danielle Gamble, who asked for unspoken prayers, and also a friend, Micah Esslinger, who asked for unspoken for her family, and the family of Joanne West, who has gone to her heavenly home.
Okay. And we know that there's bound to be a lot more people that are just like, well, they got enough to pray about, whatever. But I want you to join your faith. When we approach the throne of grace, God can hear your prayers too. Amen. So, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we come before you in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, above despair, above depression, above sickness, above disease, above injury. Lord, you are the healer. Jesus, your word declares, Acts 10:38, that you went about on this earth doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy of the devil. And we believe you're the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. You're still the healer. And we come to you for that healing, Father, for many of these, Lord God. For Gage, Lord God, who is desperately needing healing after this accident that's happened. And Father, we would particularly pray about whatever's affecting his blood pressure, causing blood pressure to be high. We take authority over every fear and panic thought. I don't know what kind of medications he's having to be given, but Lord, sometimes those have adverse effects. We pray, God, that you give the medical staff wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, in how to treat Gage, Father, that they do everything they need to do and nothing they do not. We cancel every effect and attack of the enemy against him. And Father, we pray also for Ashlyn Franklin, Lord God, having this procedure, laser procedure to graft skin and improve range of motion. Lord God, we are asking for success in this. Well, I know that surely this process, Lord God, must feel like it's a long road. I pray, God, for grace and peace and patience. I pray that her body would respond. And Lord God, that complete restoration and healing would take place. Father, we pray for Danielle, for Micah. Unspoken request. God, you know the hearts. You know exactly what's going on. And we are thankful, Father. We're thankful that you never leave us. Even when we feel like, Lord, that we're going through something in our life and it feels like, where is God? I don't know. Lord, you're right there. You're right there. And yes, you are working, and the prayers that have been prayed are being answered, for they have been heard. And you are doing a thorough work, Lord, even as the tree that Jesus spoke to withered from the roots, not the leaves first, but the roots. You're working on the root of the problems, Lord God, and we thank you for that. And Father, we come before you, Lord, with the family of Joanne West, and Father, we just want to thank you for the certainty of heaven, for the reality of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that you comfort this family as only you can. We ask your grace, your mercy, in Jesus' mighty name. I want to do one more too. And Father, I bring Charlene Rhodes before you, Lord God. You know that she had surgery, Lord, on her leg or hip. And Father, she was able to return to church Sunday, and we are so thankful for that. But Lord, she returned in immense pain, Lord God. Every step she took, she winced in pain. God, you know what she's going through. And I thank you, Lord God, right now that you are more than enough to overcome this situation in her life, Father. We release healing and health to her. We pray for her and every person who is, Lord, there are many, we struggle to receive, to actually manifest that healing virtue in our lives, that those symptoms will completely be gone. I pray, God, you'd help each one to receive what you have already bought and paid for. And we declare in agreement with your word that by your stripes, by your wounds, we were healed. And because we were, we declare we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you. They protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor D. Light Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Faith, Focused Faith. Focused Faith.
Focused Faith. Yep, that's it. Keeping your faith in focus. Focusing on your faith. I mean, any way you want to look at it, it's going to be a good thing, isn't it?
Kind of like, I think of binoculars.
Yeah.
You know, those really good ones whenever you look across and then you switch your focus. You want to see something else.
Yeah.
So you have to dial it in.
Dial it in. Exactly. Sometimes you're looking at something close, one thing, you look out in the distance, it's another, and you do have to keep adjusting your focus. For sure. Amen. It's like, I can't see the forest. Why not? Because there's a tree in my way. You know? You know? That was kind of what got Adam and Eve, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
They were living in that perfect garden God had created, that Garden of Eden, giving them everything they needed. The Bible says they were given dominion over the entire earth. In other words, literally, on God's behalf, they were ruling the entire earth. Everything on the earth was subject to their authority. Wild. And God said to them, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Some people don't believe that because they can't read, apparently. He said, but even though you are free to eat from every tree of the garden, don't eat from that one, tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you do, you surely die. You know how sin is. In Romans, literally, it tells us that the law was added so that sin would be shown for what it is. But then sin, because there is a law, draws you to do the wrong thing. Like, you know, you leave, if there's cookies in the cookie jar and you don't mention it, it's all good. But you get ready to leave the room and you tell anyone, especially kids, do not touch those cookies while I'm gone. Like, you might as well lay them cookies out and put their name on them, because they're going to be at least really tempted to touch those cookies just because there's a boundary there. That's kind of the nature of a fallen human being. That's the nature of the human nature. Adam and Eve were in that garden. They had everything they could need. God wasn't withholding anything from them. The only thing that was off limits to them at all was what was going to harm them. The only thing that's off limits in our life are things that we don't need. If you feel like God's telling you no on something, even if you don't understand why, you need to listen, because there's a reason and he may not tell you what it is. He told them in that day you will surely die. Well, here comes the enemy. You won't die. God knows in that day you won't die. You'll just be like him. Eve got to staring at that. She said she looked at it and saw that it was beautiful. It was all this and that, and it was good to make you wise, pleasing to the eyes. She got focused on that one thing. Focused on that one thing, the wrong thing. You know, they had every other tree in the garden they could eat from. If you see you just wanting something to eat, go get you something. I guarantee that garden was loaded. They weren't lacking. But sometimes we get so focused on the wrong thing. We get so focused on something that's going on, and we can't see the forest for the tree in our way. And that's literally what was happening with Eve. She forgot what God had given them because she got focused on what God had told them they shouldn't have. And life will do that to you. If you're focused on the wrong things, you're going to be drawn to the wrong things. I remember going to driver's education in high school. That's back when it was free and you got class credit for it. And you got to go to the donut shop when you were driving, so that was all good. But our driver's ed teacher would tell us this. He'd listen, if someone's coming at you at night and they've got their bright lights on, what do? You stare at their bright lights? You better not. You're going to probably have a head-on collision, because you're going to be drawn to what you focus on. So, again, we need to be focused in a faith focus on what? Particularly, because there's a lot about God you could focus on. Well, to me, I want to go back to this. Always, always looking through the lens of love. God's love for me. God's love for you. Because I need to love him and I need to love you. He's easier. Somebody looked at me and goes, amen to that one, brother. He's easier. But it's looking through that lens of love. Focus makes all the difference in the world. I want you to go to Mark's Gospel, 5th chapter. I want to show you an example here of how life will come at you and try to mess up your focus. Things happen, and things are going to happen. Mark chapter 5, we'll pick it up in verse 21. And you can just tell that if you look in my Bible, there's a caption above verse 21. I guess that's what it's called. Heading. And then here's what it says, a dead girl and a sick woman. That's what my heading above verse 21 says, a dead girl and a sick woman. All right, well, but you know what? Life happens, and it's not always pretty. But we know in all things God's working together for the good of those that love him. I'm going to tell you something. You better have a good focus to be seeing that when things don't go your way. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake, and one of the synagogue rulers. I want you to get that. This man is a synagogue ruler. In other words, he is a person whose life is completely devoted to worship of God. Now, you might say, well, yeah, those are the guys that gave Jesus all the trouble. You would be right in that most of the time. They were the guys that gave Jesus trouble. They were very, very religious. A synagogue ruler, one of them named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. That's not normal for a synagogue ruler. And by the way, I want to just give you a note on this. If you have not seen The Chosen, Season 3, Episode 5 is where you can see how they portrayed this particular passage of Scripture. And I personally feel like they did a beautiful job. Now, you would kind of need some build-up. That's the episode where Jesus actually goes and does what we're about to read. But there's more build-up to that. This synagogue ruler has been hearing rumors, and then he's seeing reports, and he's starting to kind of get a perspective of who this Jesus of Nazareth, this rabbi, is. But not until he is completely and totally desperate does he come to Jesus. Isn't that interesting how we do that? I don't personally know anybody who ever surrendered their life to Jesus because they had all their ducks in a row and life was so good they were just irresistibly drawn to surrender to Jesus. I have not met that person. Everybody I've ever met, including me, come to Jesus, man, not our ducks are not in a row. We don't even know where they went. You know, I don't even know where they went. It's like, and my life, you know, when I came to the Lord, I felt like my life was a big bag of garbage. Now, you might have looked at it and thought, if you think yours is garbage, you ought to see mine. That's irrelevant because it's not, I don't live by your focus. I live by mine. Mm-hmm. My perspective is what affects the way I live, not yours. You can have all the perspective you want to, but it's not going to affect me here or there. It's my perspective, my focus. And when I came to Jesus, my life felt like a big bag of garbage. I felt like I had just trashed everything. I didn't want to wake up again. I did not want to wake up tomorrow. But instead of taking my life in the sense of ending it, I took it and gave it to Jesus. And I've always said this for all these years afterwards. That was over 30 years ago. I guarantee you the only regret I have in surrendering my life to Jesus completely is that I didn't do it sooner. Amen. And that is a fact. Mm-hmm. I've not had one single day, not one single minute, not a second that I thought, man, sure wish I could go back to the way things used to be. Not even close. If you ever have thoughts like that, like, man, I wish I could just go and do what I used to do. I wish I could live. You know, I want to go back to the old way. Listen, man, your focus is messed up. Something has got, you got a lot of stuff in your eyes. Something is wrong, completely wrong. For one thing, you've probably forgotten. Like the Israelites, when God delivered them out of Egypt, they've been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. They were so oppressed as slaves that their cries were so pitiful and so they needed God so much that their cries provoked God to send Moses to deliver them. God himself came down, found Moses on the backside of the desert, said, you know, I'm sending you. Moses, who am I? And God said, I have come down to deliver my people, and I'm sending you. And it's a long story. You can go read it. But the point that I want to make is it was terrible. And when Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, how'd that go? First day. Pharaoh got ticked off. He goes, I'll tell you what we're going to do about this one, Hebrew. If you think you're going to get me to release these people, go out there and worship God, you got another thing coming. But I'll tell you what I will do. Because you troubled me. I think I'll make their task harder. I'm going to increase their quota of bricks, and now instead of my people giving them the straw, they can go get their own straw. How you like that? I guarantee you they were all upset with Moses. Why didn't you keep your big fat mouth shut? It was bad enough already. Now you done made it worse. And I mean, it's horrible. And God has to use all these miracles to get them out of Egypt because their situation in Egypt was so stinking terrible. I'm going somewhere. Don't let me lose you. Then they get out in the desert. They're not even out there 40 days. And they're like, Moses, did you bring us out here to kill us? We're all going to starve to death. Do we not? And they said, in Egypt, here's what they said. We sat around the flesh pots and had plenty to eat. In other words, they had these big kettles full of meat to eat. Whatever. I'm like, you did not sit around no flesh pots. What you did was you made bricks all day with a whip crack in your back, and you cried out about it so bad that God himself had to come down and deliver you from it. See, I was in Egypt. You were in Egypt. We were all in Egypt when we were in our sin. And we were so miserable that God had to, the Holy Spirit had to provoke us to receive Christ and get our deliverance. But then there are people who, once they're delivered and they're outside that bondage of sin, they start looking back with fond memories. I don't know how you look back on that with fond memories. You got to be very careful what you remember. I know that. You know, they say, "Oh, I remember this party." Yeah, do you remember the throwing up? Do you remember how you lost your license and couldn't drive, even though your Maserati did 185? You know, you weren't soaring with the Eagles; you were just high with the Eagles. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you cannot look back on your past and on things that are not good. You cannot allow yourself to allow a focus to come in life and say, "Well, that what's good or what's bad looks good to me." So. Let's see this perspective. When Jesus crossed over, the synagogue ruler Jairus came to him, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly. He begged him, "My little daughter's dying. Please come. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." What a statement of faith. I believe it was because of that statement of faith. Come and put your hands on her, and she will live. It says Jesus went with him. I believe faith moves God. So a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered many things and many doctors, spent all that she had, and instead of getting better, she got worse. That happens sometimes in life, don't it? You're trying to fix it by every natural means you can think of. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, I like the translation, it says she said to herself, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, his clothes, I will be healed." Again, a statement of faith, perspective, focus. What is she focusing on? How bad she's bleeding, how she's unclean, how she can't go through the crowd, how nobody's touched her in 12 years, how she's been rejected by everybody. That's not what she's focused on. She's only focused on one thing. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I know this. Inside me, I know this. Focused. Faith. Focused, and it allowed her the courage to literally risk her life facing the penalty of death to touch him because she was declared unclean by their law. Immediately when she touched him, her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power, dunamis, had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" They were... "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, who touched you?" In other words, they're going, everybody touched you. But Jesus kept looking around to see who was close, who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. She told him the whole truth. I mean, no, that will take a while. Because she'd been suffering for 12 years, spent everything she had at the doctor's. She had to tell him how she heard about him, how she got it in her mind to touch the hem of his garment. She told him every deep. That takes a minute. What was going on before we started reading about her? Jairus. Jairus came in a situation of immediate urgency, getting the rabbi, the healer, "Come with me. Please lay your hands on my daughter. She will live. She's at the point of death." Jesus said, "I'll go with you." And they start going. And then here's this woman. Always waiting on a woman. I better be careful. I'm in a room with a couple. Had to wait on this woman. She's getting her healing. Got to tell them the whole thing. And then Jesus wants to hear about it. "Can't we just move on, Lord? Can't we just move on? I mean, she got what she needed. Let's go." You know, that'd be old Anthony Pants Dwight right there. Jairus, there's no mention of Jairus' reaction to her situation at all. It's like he just standing there. Patiently waiting, I guess. I don't know. The disciple said, "Did everybody touch you?" Jesus said, "I want to know who it was." He kept looking around to see who'd done it because he wasn't done with her. That's the reason. And then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth, the whole long story. He said to her, first word, "Daughter." She probably hadn't heard that in a while. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith did this." Can I say it to you this way? Your focus on the love, the power, the goodness of God did this for you. Faith is being focused on the goodness of God. Your faith healed you. Go in peace. The word there is shalom. It literally means nothing missing, nothing broken, complete restoration. Go completely whole, freed from your suffering. Now, while Jesus was still talking to her, still speaking, Some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter's dead, they said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. That is not news anybody ever wants to hear, is it? That's that rock your world kind of news. And we've all had it. I think we've all had it. How did Jesus respond to that? Verse 38. Is that 38? 36. They said to Jairus, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher." And then verse 36 doesn't talk about Jairus yet. It talks about what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He ignored it. He ignored what they said. He acted like they didn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Can I say it to you this way? Maybe Jesus goes, in his mind, he goes, "I don't change nothing."
And?
That don't change nothing. Somebody said, "Man, I've been believing God for getting my finances in order, and I've been tithing, and I've been sowing some seed stuff, and then they told me at work they're going to have cutbacks." Yeah, and that's probably just God fixing to promote you somewhere else. That's what I would say. Why are you choosing to focus on, "Oh, my gosh, I thought everything was falling into place"? It is. It is. Why are you walking by faith or sight when you're supposed to be walking by faith? Come on. So ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, what did he tell him? "Don't be afraid. Just," or I like another translation even better, "only believe." Only believe. Now, I wrote in my note, you probably heard it said, faith over fear, and that's a good slogan. I'm not against that at all. But how about this one? Faith instead of fear. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't operate in both. You can only believe, Jesus said. Only believe. Literally, when he said, "Do not be afraid," he literally translated, says, put a stop to the fear immediately and only focus on what you believe. We got to do that. We've got to do that. So Jesus ignored it, and then he turned to the synagogue ruler and said, "Don't be afraid," or "stop the fear, and just only believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion, people crying and wailing. If you were Jairus, and you survived the kick in the gut. They came, they said, "Your daughter's dead. Leave the teacher alone." Jesus ignored them completely, turns to you and says, "Don't be afraid, just keep trusting me. Just believe." And you're like, "Yes, sir, I got my eyes on you. Yes, sir." And you're walking to the house. You're going, "Yes, sir, I'm just believing you. I'm just believing you." And all of a sudden you hear the commotion. What's likely to happen to you? What's likely to happen to you is that your emotions are going to overtake you. And I heard this preacher say many times, if you get lured into the arena of emotions, you're fixing to get your tail kicked. Because faith is not about your emotions. Faith is about what you believe. And what you believe about God should not change. I mean, let me preface that. When you believe the right things about God, it should not change. Like, I believe that God loves me. I believe God sent his only begotten son. I believe that God is for me and not against me. He's working in all things for my good. If you believe that on Monday when the sky is blue and all that, and you don't believe it on Tuesday when the tornado siren's going off, there's something wrong with your believer. Your belief should stay steady and the same regardless of what's going on. But that is something you have to learn how to do. You have to learn how to stay focused. That's why I'm talking to you about having a faith focus today. Not faith in faith. Faith in God. Faith in God's love. So they hear all the commotion. We're coming down to the end here. People crying, wailing, bunch of emotion. He went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing?" Here's what Jesus said. "The child is not dead, but asleep." Now, he wasn't denying the fact that her heart had stopped or her lungs had quit working. What he was doing was he was being God. Mm-hmm. Because Romans 4:17 says God calls things that are not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they were. You know, I used to have a puppy dog. When I wanted that puppy dog to come to me, you know what I did? I called her, and she came. If you talk about your situation the way it looks and feels like, you're going to get what it looks and feels like. But if you will call your situation what God calls your situation, you'll have, it will come to you what God calls it. Believe it or not, somebody go, I don't believe that. Then it ain't going to work for you, so don't worry about it. Move on. But it'll work for me because I believe it. Amen. And it's biblical. It's biblical. So why's all this commotion? She's not dead. She's asleep. They all laughed at him. The Bible, King James said they derided him. They made fun of him. So what did he do about that? He put them all out. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, don't surround. You're going to soar with the eagles. You can't hang out with a bunch of turkeys. The people you hang out with, bad company corrupts good character. How many ever heard that verse, right? Bad company corrupts good character. Well, you know the context of that character, the scriptural context? He's writing about don't be hanging out with these people who are denying the resurrection of Jesus. They deny the resurrection of Jesus. They say the resurrection of the dead, this future tense for believers, has already come to pass. It's over. And he said, don't hang out with them, because if you do, their theology is going to rub off on you. And he goes, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That is the context of that scripture. If you don't believe me, you go look it up today. That is the context of that scripture. It ain't talking about keeping your teenage daughter away from the kid with hair too long. Although I'm all for that. Bad company does corrupt good character, regardless of the situation. But the context of that scripture written in the Bible is talking about people who believe the wrong things. They're bad company. Don't hang out with people who believe the wrong things. Their theology's all messed up. It'll get to you. That's the context. Go check it out. Almost done. He put them all out. He took the child's father and mother, disciples that were with him. He went in where the child was. He took her by the hand. Said to her, Talitha kum, which means, or is interpreted, little girl, I say get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave them strict orders not to let anyone know about this. Told them to give her something to eat. That's a powerful miracle of God, isn't it? And it all happened because of one thing, because of a faith focus. Jesus didn't wring his hands when they said, oh, Jairus' daughter's dead. Jesus didn't go, oh, no, we're late. His focus was clear. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He redirected Jairus' focus by saying, stop the fear. Don't let fear get to you. Just keep believing. Keep trusting. Can I say it this way? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the goodness of God. Focus. I have an acronym here. Fear. You know what fear is? You probably say fear, false evidence appearing real. I've heard that one. That one's really good. I'm going to give you a different one. Fear, F-E-A-R, forgetting every amazing revelation. Forgetting every amazing revelation. When you forget what God has spoken to you because something else barks louder, you're opening yourself up for fear. Now let me give you one for faith, F-A-I-T-H, and I'll be done. Faith, focused always in trusting him. Focused always in trusting him, F-I-T-H, focused always in trusting him. If something's trying to move you to fear today, just redirect your focus on trusting in the love of God. If he loved you so much to send Jesus to the cross on your behalf, which he did, and you know it, just don't forget that. Then that doctor's report will you, well, God loves me. He sent Jesus to the cross for me. Ain't no doubt God loves me. It's going to be all right. In all things, God worked together for my good. I don't receive this report anyway. I'm receiving this report. Amen. So let's do that. Set our focus today.
Before Amen. We end, can we say one more prayer?
Yep.
Let's continue prayers for Robert Guilford Sr.
Okay.
Who's in the VA hospital in Oklahoma City.
Yep. We will do that. Your mom reminded me of that one yesterday.
Yeah. And then let's pray for a new friend, Michael.
Okay. Heavenly Father, as we do come before you, we lift Robert before you. Father, you know the accident that he had. You know the injury that he received. You know everything about the whole circumstance. We ask God for a full and complete recovery, and we ask, Lord, that you be glorified in it. Lord, your word declares your eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone on whose behalf you can show yourself strong. And you can receive glory for this, Father. We're asking you for it. We're asking, Lord, not on the basis of Robert's goodness or our goodness, but on the goodness of Jesus. And, Father, we pray for this friend. What'd you say your friend's name?
Michael.
Michael. Father, we pray for Michael. You know what's going on with Michael. You know everything about Michael. And Father, we just hold Michael before you, and we ask that you so captivate his heart with your love that everything else begin to fade away and that his focus on you become clear and real and true, and that you would be the guide of his life. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power today, y'all, and you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome pastor, Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.